Okay, let's begin. Today we're going to do part two of the division of Tanakh. Okay, we discussed, those who were not here yesterday, different ideas relating to the 24 Sefarim of Tanakh. Chumash, Tanakh stands for Torah, Nevi'im, Ksuvim. We focused yesterday what is included in the 24 books of Tanakh and what's not included. We saw Chanukah, the Ches Nevim, Vav Ksuvim, Chamesh Megillos, and we spend a lot of time discussing the difference between the Nevim Rishonim and the Nevim Acharonim, and we discuss this idea that there are really four parts. There is Torah, which is the prophecy of Torah, which is fulfilled in the Nevim Rishonim, and then we have the Nevim Acharonim, whose prophecy was fulfilled in parts, not of all, of course, but parts of Kisuvim. Okay, that was what we discussed. Now, today I want to go a step further. There's one major theme I want to bring out, but before we get to that thing, let me give a little of a hagdama by discussing something else. It's a very, very significant, big machlokes Rishonim, which of the two has more kedusha, more sanctity, or comes first, Nevi'im or Kisuvim? Now, there are two very obvious things which stand out in relation to this question. Number one, Tanakh. I mean, what more do you possibly want? And the way we refer to the three, all of the swarm of Tanakh with Tof, Nun, Chaf, Torah, Nevi'im, Ksuvim. So it's very obvious that first comes Nevi'im and then comes Kesuvim.
Is that a modern abbreviation?
Why is that a question? What's the practical application?
So the practical application is, I'll give you two examples. The practical application is that you're piling on a table. You have a table, and you put down, what goes on top? Torah goes on top. There's not enough room to put all three. You have to put one on top of the other. So which one goes on top? The Torah goes on top. Then what goes below? That's the question. Do the Nevi'im go and the Ksuvim go? Or maybe the Ksuvim have more sanctity, they go above the Nevi'im. Another nafka mina will be, person does not have enough to live on. He needs to sell some of his library in order to make a parent, in order to buy food. Which one should he sell first? I'll sell one book, I'll get by for a week. So it's not ideal, it's not a good thing ever to sell a person. A person should never sell a person. A person has no choice. Which one has the least kedusha? Do the ksuvim have less kedusha or the Nevi'im? Should he sell first the Nevi'im? Let's say there's a fire and you only can save one. Which one should you save? Should I save the Nevi'im or the ksuvim? The one that has less kedusha will be saved last. The one that has more kedusha will be saved first. So these are three different afghaminas. So the order, now, okay, so the first issue you'll right away tell me is the one that has more kedusha are the one that has more kedusha are the Nevi'im, because when we refer with the acronym of Tanakh, good question, when did it come into effect? I don't know. Is it in the Gemara? The word Tanakh, this expression Tanakh? I really don't. I don't think so. I don't think in the Gemara it appears. I didn't wear this expression. It's a modern, exactly. But the fact that it's a minog, that this is the way we speak, that itself is significant. What?
I think the term the Gemara used as it did recently is Kabbalah, Divrei Kabbalah.
Divrei Kabbalah for Ksuvim, for the Nevi'im. But both together, Divrei Kabbalah. But the term you have, the term Tanakh, I don't think so. I don't think so. So when did it first come into use? I don't know. I really don't know. It's a very good point. But it's interesting that Hanach Lehem Li Yisrael, Einem Nevi'im, B'nei Nevi'im. The fact that we refer to it as a Tanakh, right? What would be Tachan. The fact that we refer to it as a Tanakh, Hanach lahem li Yisrael, an Einam Nevi'im b'nei Nevi'im. Interesting, Nevi'im in this context, in reference to the Seder HaDvarim. If that's the way people refer to something, it's very probable there's truth to it. Not all the time. Sometimes you'll have a minik shtus, you'll have a minik that makes no sense, it's just a matter of nonsense. But most of the time, people do something, there's some significance to it. So that should be very obvious proof that the Nevi'im come first with more sanctity. On the other hand, there's a very significant thing that we do every single year, which really comes to show that Ksuvim have more sanctity, and that is on Rosh Hashanah. On Rosh Hashanah, we have a halacha, you have to lay in Malchios, Zichronos, and Shofros, and each section of the Shemoneh Esrei, we have to recite 10 psukim. What are the order of the psukim, the 10 psukim? We all have 3 of Torah, there are 3 of Nevi'im, 3 of Ksuvim, that's 9, and then we wrap it up, we sandwich it with the pasuk of the Torah. Now, what's the Seder on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur? We take out a Machzor, it's Torah, Kisuvim, Nevi'im. We first say the psukim of the Ksuvim before we say the psukim of the Nevi'im. So why did the Anshei Knesset Gedolah, when they formulated the Nusach of Rosh Hashanah, and this is very significant, every pasuk that was picked was hand-picked. These aren't just stamp psukim. These psukim were hand-picked to express the theme of Malchios, Zichronos, and Shofros, and the Seder of the psukim is first Torah, then comes Kisuvim, and then is Nevi'im. So you see from the Seder that the Ksuvim has more Kedima, it must be that the Ksuvim have more significance, have more sanctity. So this is a very big issue. It's not clear, and there's a very long list of Rishonim which disagree concerning this matter. Now, before we go further, let me just tell you, just to jump ahead, just to bring out an important point. We're going to discuss, after we discuss this issue, we're going to discuss the issue, what exactly is the difference between a book that's part of the Nevi'im and a book that's part of the Ksuvim. As far as we're concerned, why can't Tehillim be called from the Sifrei Nevi'im? What's wrong? David HaMelech, in fact, lived much earlier than Daniel, Ezra, Nehemiah, the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah who wrote this. He lived before even Yechezkel. He lived before Yirmiyah, before Yeshaya. Way before. So how come David, Sefer Tehillim, is written all the way, is part of Ksuvim. Eov lived in the time of Moshe. Some learn. Mishle, Shlomo HaMelech. Mishle, the Chumash Megillos. This time of the Shoftim. What's going on? What exactly are the criteria to classify something as Ksuvim, something as him? This is a big, big topic which we're going to discuss in a few moments. But the most fundamental approach is the approach of the Rambam in Mor Nevuchim, which everyone comes on to. Everyone has to come on to this and borrow. The Radak does so almost word for word, and many other Rishonim have come on to, is the idea, there's something called Ruach of Nevuah, and there's something called Ruach HaKodesh. Now, as far as we're concerned, we don't have a clue. We're not fools to think we have a hasaga, we know what any of these things are, but all we have to think about is these things in a very abstract, theoretical form. There's something called Ruach HaKodesh. That's different than Nevuah. What's the difference? There's a very simple way difference that we can relate to. When a Navi, a typical Navi, not Moshe Rabbeinu, he was the exception, and maybe Yeshaya also was an exception, but when a Navi gave over, when received the vision, he was unconscious. He was sleeping. He was not functional. He was out cold. And he had a vision. And it could very well be that while he had his vision, he was speaking, he was preaching. But he was not in control of his body. He was, his mind and body was taken over by a spirit of prophecy, and things just came out of his mouth, a holy spirit. Yeah.
The prophecies were parables, they weren't necessarily the truth.
Ain't no chinami. There were some yes, some not. All different types of prophecies. In prophecy, there are 100 levels, there are different types. There are some things that are explicit, that this is exactly what's going to happen. I'm giving you a simon. Moshe tells Paro that these are going to be those prophecy. Moshe tells Paro, tomorrow there's going to be chosh, there's going to be Barat. I'll tell you exactly when it's going to start. Tell him exact details of what's going to happen. Then you have things like Yeshaya, parables, Mesholim, all different things like that. You're right. But the common denominator of prophecy, at least later prophets, not necessarily Moshe Rabbeinu, is when the prophet gave over his vision, he was not conscious. He was out. He was not in control. He did not even know what was happening.
When he received it,
that's also this. That's also a discussion. Okay, it's also complicated. I don't know exactly different levels in a chanami. That's also an issue. But there is a degree of losing control. You are just a vehicle. You are just an object, a physical object, channel, which Hashem has selected to be a means to channel what He wants to say to the world. world, to whatever whoever is supposed to, the message is directed to. You're just a physical mass, and you're a holy person, obviously, because the Hashem would not use you as a channel to give over unless you were extremely pious, holy, and righteous, so on and so forth. But you're not in control. I'm just an object. Ruach HaKodesh means you're alive and well. You're in control. You're a mechadish. You're studying Torah. And as you are learning, you're davening, a thought comes to you. They say about Gedolim today, I don't know, today, but maybe go back pre-war, previous Gedolim, the last 400 years. Holy people. They had Ruach HaKodesh. It's not unheard of to hear this thing about, you go to this person is a holy man, he has Ruach HaKodesh. What does that mean? That means he's out cold? He's unconscious? He's sleeping? No! He's a holy person, and when you ask him a question, his mind somehow is tuned in to a certain degree of holiness, and he thinks differently, and he has Siyat HaDeshmaya to tell you what to do, tell you to do the right thing, and you'll be successful, or you'll do what Hashem really deserves. What? Right. That's Ruach HaKodesh. So any book, anything that was authored, that was composed in a state of Ruach HaKodesh, which basically means the person was alive and well in control and was thinking and was, his mind was operating and he put something down in words, that qualifies for Sifrei Kesuvim. Anything which was recorded and came through an experience where the prophet was out, he was completely unconscious and HaKadosh Baruch Hu used him as a vehicle, a conduit to bring over, that is called Nevi'im. And therefore we could have David HaMelech. David HaMelech, according to most Rishonim, was a Navi, was a prophet. And he gave over, there were prophecies, and say for Shmuel, there are things that David HaMelech said, is Shiras David. Shiras David is both, that's the problem. It's in Tehillim, and it's that's one of the major problems, with slight variations. But there are things that David HaMelech, without question, is prophecy, things when David HaMelech was not awake, he was out, and he gave over, he was an object of prophecy, the Klal Yisrael, and that's recorded in Sefer Shmuel, and different places here and there. But then there are Mizmoirim, which David HaMelech composed, when he was awake, conscious, and he put into writing his thoughts, his ideas, his songs, his compositions, and that's called Sefer Tehillim. So a person who is a Navi can also write and compose things with a spirit of Ruach HaKodesh. But then there are people that compose things with Ruach HaKodesh, but never reached the level of being a prophet, where Hashem chose to use them as a means of giving over His message to the world through them. So David HaMelech and Shlomo HaMelech, to a degree, were both. They were people who were prophets, and they were used by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to give over messages to the world, and those words are recorded here and there in Sefer Shmuel and Sefer Melachim. But not every moment are you a prophet. You have a life to live. You have a day job. You do things. And when you do things, you have ideas, like every living person today has ideas in the modern times, and you have success in Siyat HaShemayim, and he composed things with Ruach HaKodesh, Sefer Tehillim, Sefer Mishlei, Koheles, and what am I forgetting? Shir Ashirim. These are things that were composed to Tehillim with Mishlei with Ruach HaKodesh. They're not in the degree of prophecy. Okay, so now if you take that approach, if you think about it, this is a very deep idea. Which of the two is greater? Think about it. Which of the two? We're going to come to a very, very profound idea in a few moments when we come, we'll go a little bit later on.
Obviously, being a channel of Hashem is more of a highlight.
Yes and no. Being an ad, that's on one hand, yes. Because maybe it could very well be that you have to be a whole, your holiness, your degree of personal piety must be very, very much greater than a person who has Ruach HaKodesh to be selected by Hashem to be a prophet. But also you have to take into consideration, Hashem only uses people as prophets when the times are need, when there's a need for it. If you live in a different generation, maybe you did reach a level of purity and holiness. It's just that Hashem doesn't need you in this generation, because in this generation the people don't need prophecies. All the prophets have already been recorded. But on the other hand, if Hashem is using you as a tool to convey a message, wow! That's, you're really holy. Those words must be really holy. They're coming directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So maybe that's holy. But on the other hand, who's holier? A malach or a person? a person to a certain degree is holy. Because a person has taken the mundane and has elevated. That's the challenge. Chazal tell us that a human being can reach a higher madrega than a malach. A malach is what it is. It's an omed. You created to do this, you're an omed, you stand in one place, you have no ability to go higher. A human being has the ability to grow, to excel, to move. When a person reaches Ruach HaKodesh, that's due to his credits. He has taken his chomer, his mundane mass, his talents, he has worked on it, he has accomplished something that he can call his own. So to a certain degree, it's, you know, yigias kapecha kisochel ashrecha v'toivlach. There's a certain degree of accomplishment that you achieve with Ruach HaKodesh that you cannot achieve with a spirit of prophecy. A spirit of prophecy is a gift. Hashem just puts you out and uses you as a channel to deliver a message. It's not nothing personal.
So Ezra and Nehemiah, he was asleep when they wrote?
No, Ezra and Nehemiah are not prophets. They're not prophets. Ezra and Nehemiah, or at least the books. The books of Ezra and Nehemiah was recorded. Ezra, according to some, was Malachi, so he was a prophet also. He was both. But the Sefer Ezra is part of the Ksuvim. It's not part of the Nevi'im. What's recorded in Sefer, what was recorded in these books, is a record that was written to a Koach of Ruach HaKodesh. So you can argue, you can debate this point. That's the so one we come back to this issue that we're discussing. Which one of these two books has Kedima? Does Nevi'im have Kedima or Ksuvim? Which one goes on top of the other? Do you put a Navi on top of a Ksuvim? Do you put a Navi on Ksuvim on top of a Ksuvim? Which one do you save? You only can save one. Which one will you save? Navi or Ksuvim? So you can. Yeah, let's jump ahead to the approach of the Rambam. Well, what exactly is the difference between Navi and Ksuvim? The Rambam says Navi was written by Koyach Ruach Nevuah. Ruach Nevuah is you just a tool in the hand of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to give over a message. What is Navi and Ksuvim? Ksuvim is Ruach HaKodesh. Ruach HaKodesh is your law of your wake, it's your Koyach, your talents, and you're coming to reach a conclusion and being that you're a holy person and you don't contaminate yourself by doing averos, so you have a certain holiness, and if you're holy in the mela, you will accomplish holy things. Which one of those two is greater? Each one has a mila and a chesaron. The sanctity of being the object of the Kodesh Baruch Hu, obviously, is a very big mila. But the accomplishment of reaching a state on your own, of doing something through your mind, your own faculties, on a certain degree, is greater than a Navi. So you can debate this issue. It's not clear. Just because you take the approach, many people will start with this. Well, let's look at the Rambam. The Rambam says, Navi is Nevuah. Navi Ksuvim is Ruach HaKodesh. So case closed. Navi has more Kedusha than Ksuvim, Torah, Navi, Ksuvim. Not necessarily. Just because the Kodesh Baruch Hu used you as an object, that's not the purpose of this world. The purpose of this world is to bring holiness into this world, and holiness is something which you accomplish. So as far as your accomplishments are concerned, Ksuvim is greater than Navim. So this, just because you take the approach of the Rambam, will not settle the issue of which one has more sanctity, Navim or Ksuvim. Okay, so far what we have said.
I have a question. When we read Tehillim, we say Sefer Rishon Kenegat Sefer Bereshit. Sefer Sheni Kenegat Shemot Hamisha Humshe Torah. Some of the Ketuvim maybe have more.
I'm not going into different variations. We're not going into variations between the different Ksuvim. But there's one thing is certain. There are six books that are part of Ksuvim. We're not now differentiating between the different types of books, different levels in Ksuvim. They're all part of one category called Ksuvim. Why? Why are those six in Ksuvim and why are these eight in Nevi'im? Yesterday we discussed a little bit the difference between the Nevi'im, the Nevi'im Rishonim, and the Acharonim. But right now we're only focusing on the general categories. Which one has Kedima? So, we know the Rambam, the difference between the two, Ruach Nevuah, Ruach HaKodesh. Now, what's the bottom line? So, there's a Machlokes Rishonim. First, we have the Shita of the Ramban and the Rosh. The Ramban and the Rosh both write explicitly that Kesuvin have more Kedusha. Case closed. There's nothing to talk about. Ksuvim, any book, the six books of Ksuvim, have more sanctity than a book of Sifrei Nevi'im. Shocking, right? The average person doesn't think like that. But that's what they write. It goes first. Okay.
Why?
We explain. Why? I guess he holds Ruach HaKodesh. Well, he doesn't explain. I, I, let's go through some of the ideas, and then we can work backwards and try to figure out why. Okay, this is we already gave really one reason why it should be so. Because Ruach HaKodesh versus Nevuah, it's my contribution. It's an Adam versus the Malach. It's my doing. I've accomplished this. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu put you in this world for. Be a Malach. You don't have to come to this world to be a Malach. Stay in Shemayim. Who needs you here? So if we're dealing with things in this world, Halach, in this world, Ksuvim, that's the way to go. Ksuvim is Ruach HaKodesh. I'm alive, I'm awake, I'm conscious, I'm functioning, and I've accomplished holy matters. That's the tafkid of creation. Ruach HaKodesh is a much higher madriga than Nevuah. Nevuah, you want to put me out, put me to sleep, and I should just talk, my lips should move and speak? There's no kunst to that. There's a kunst to being chosen to be a conduit, but that's not the goal. Okay, that's the Ramban. Now we come to the Me'iri and the Avudraham. They're clear as day, Pumfaker. Nevi'im come first. Okay, so all of your Shilas, Ksuv, Nevi'im, Nevi'im like Tanakh. The Ritva. Okay, third approach. They're equal. You cannot be Machriya. No difference. If you want today to put the Navi on top, put the Navi on top. If tomorrow you want to put Sefer Ezra Nechemiah on top, you can put Sefer Ezra Nechemiah on top. You have the fire, Chas Shalom, you only can save one. So flip a coin. It doesn't make a difference. They have equal sanctity. No difference between Nevim and Ksuvim. And he really brings it right from the Gemara. Because the Gemara discusses which Sefer goes on top of the other. And the Gemara says, a Torah goes on top of Nevim Uksuvim. And not Nevim Uksuvim on top of the Torah. Now, it's true, the Gemara says Nevim for Uksuvim, but the Gemara does not go the step further and say a Navi goes on top of a Sefer from Uksuvim and not, or vice versa. The Gemara does not go to the next level. The fact the Gemara does not go to the next level goes to show to some degree that they are equal. That's Gemara Megillah. I think it's about Yudalad. If I'm not mistaken, it's about Yudalad and Sechel Megillah. The Gemara talks about all the different parts of the Vimusuvim. Now we come to the Ran. Now this really we want to spend time on, the Ran. The Ran is a contradiction. The Ran wrote two perush. He wrote a perush on the Gemara, and he wrote a perush on the Rif. And the Ran is Soyser himself. The Ran in one place writes that the Vim have more Kedusha, and in the Rif he writes that the Ksuvim have more Kedusha. Kasha, good Kasha. Who is this Kasha? Who figured out the steer in the Ran? The Magen Avram. The Magen Avram takes note that the Ran is already a Soyser himself. So we have Amish, all sides of the coin. We have the Ramban, we have the Me'iri, the Ritva, the equal. And now we have, to top it all off, we have a contradiction between the Ran and what exactly is more Kedusha. Now, in order to answer the Ran, what the Ran means, I think there's something very deep in the Ran, let's go to another topic. What is the difference between, we're going to come back to the Ran in a moment, what's the difference between Nevi'im and Kisuvim? So we gave you the classic answer, we already opened up, Ruach Nevuah and a Ruach of a Ruach and Ruach HaKodesh. Okay, that's not the only approach. Now just to start you off, just tell you some more esoteric approaches. You have the Maral. Okay, Maral, this is not really related to her. The Maral says that Torah is halacha. Any sefer of halacha is part of the Torah. Well, obviously, Torah is the Torah. Nevi'im is prophecy. Doesn't elaborate. Kisuvim, he says, everything in Kisuvim, under the hood, read between the lines, is all related to Yemos HaMashiach. So, Mishle. It's all about Yemos HaMashiach. It's not obvious to us. Mishle is Mishalim, it's Chochma. Tehillim, it's all about Yemos HaMashiach. This is Maral Mahalach. Okay? Yeah, obviously, every Maral is, you have to, it's very deep. Talk about, well, I think we can relate to that. You talk about Nehemiah and Ezra, Daniel. Certainly, that's already part of the process of Yemos HaMashiach. The Bayesheni is definitely part of the process of Yemos HaMashiach. But even you're dealing with. No, but Yeshaya, that's what he's saying. Yeshaya is not. Yeshaya is prophecy. I'm just throwing out words. It has to be refined, but it's a deep, there's a lot of depth in this concept. Yeshaya is not Yemos HaMashiach. There are prophecies in Yeshaya that relate, that talk about what's going to be Yemos HaMashiach, of course, a lot of stuff, but that's not the focus of Yeshaya. The focus of Yeshaya is not what's going to be Yemos HaMashiach, it's what's going to be until the time of Mashiach. There is bits and pieces. He can't say not. You can't ignore. But that's not his focus. By the way, every single answer has to come on to the other answers. There's no perfect answer. Every single answer has major problems. This is just a general, abstract approach to the differences. Okay. So that's the Maral, Yimos HaMashiach. It's a very interesting approach. And if we have time, he has some beautiful chidushim about this idea when it comes to Yom Kippur and it comes to Shabbos Mincha. Maybe if we have time, we'll discuss some of that stuff. The approach of the Maral, Rav Yosher Ber Soloveitchik, has really nice things which tie very well into the Maral. And then Rav Sender has his own chidushim on top of that. It's a really beautiful piece, combination, Maral, Rav Yosher Ber, and Rav Yitzchak Sender, this approach. Maybe we'll get to a little later on. Okay, let's go to another idea before we get into the main theme. I think the Netziv, typical Netziv, was very medactic. It's a matter of style of writing, nothing more than that. Forget about chronology. Forget about Yimos HaMashiach. Forget about Ruach HaKodesh. Forget that. Scratch that. Just style of writing. All of the Nevi'im were written with a certain style. You have to differentiate between Nevi'im Rishonim and Nevi'im Achronim, but everything in Nevi'im is a certain style, even though they're very different. The writing of Yechezkel is very different than Yeshaya.
Right.
And Yirmiyah is more like Malachim. And Treyasar varies, different types. It's okay, but whatever. And then Nevi'im Rishonim is all pretty much very similar. Nevi'im Rishonim, I think, is a certain similarity between Nevi'im Rishonim. Nevi'im Rishonim and Yirmiyah, but in Yirmiyah also there are sections which are much unique. Okay, fine, but the style of writing somehow is all in one category. Kesuvim has a different style of writing. His words are, if I now remember, is that the style of Nevi'im is more similar to the style of the Torah. Chamishei Chumshei Torah. Whereas the style of writing in Ksuvim is more similar to Lashon B'nei Adam. The way man speaks. Now that itself opens up a whole new world, telling us there are three different languages. Three different styles of speech. Styles of speech. There's speech of the Torah, there's speech of the Nevi'im, and there's speech of man. And there's speech of really two categories of styles. Speech of the Torah, and there's the way man speaks. Completely different styles of speech. Now we have a problem. We have Nevi'im and Ksuvim. Where do they fit? Well, Nevi'im, not 100%, but resemble more the style of the Torah. Ksuvim resemble more the style of writing or speech of man. And that's why they're broken apart.
Really hard.
We can't put them together. Why? It's not so far. You see that Ksuvim, Danilas, Nehemiah. It depends. It's so hard because how can you put together Tehillim with Divrei Hayamim? They don't go.
Right.
It's a different world.
Is
right. That's what I'm saying. Every one of these answers has major problems, which has to be dealt with.
How do you say Divrei Torah Kolashim
and Ayadam? Divrei Torah Kolashim and Ayadam. What does that mean?
Yeah.
Okay. Every approach needs every. There's truth to every approach. There's no question. There's something to it. There's definitely something to it. The style of writing in the Divrei Hayamim is different. It's not the style of writing in the Nevi'im. It's not, and the Nevi'im is not the style of Torah. It's an idea which requires further elaboration. But there's definitely some truth to it. It's a very powerful observation. There are two styles of writing: Torah and Bnei Adam. Nevi'im resemble more Torah. Ksuvim resemble more, tilted more towards Lashon Bnei Adam. Okay, that's the Nesiv. Now let's come to another major theme. This theme, you cannot live without this theme. This is the Yesod, which really answers all of the questions. There's a fundamental difference between a Navi, the Divrei Nesiv. Many Mepharshim say the same idea. Avinash Eibeshitz says this, and I think even the... Rav Yosher Ber speaks about this. I think the Radak speaks about this. There are many Mepharshim say the same thing. A Navi received a vision. What was the purpose of his vision? Was it to write it down? Or was it to relay it to the people? Disseminate. a Navi was never commanded to write down his words. When a prophet received a vision, it was only for the purpose of going out to the public, going out to the market, going out to the shul, and giving over to conveying it to the people to listen, hear what Hashem has to tell you, and act upon it. It was never meant to be put in writing. I mean, I don't should say never meant. At a later point, that was not the primary purpose. At a later point in time, they realize, you know, this is a prophecy which is relevant for all future generations. It's not just relevant for what's happened here today and this day, this sermon we can use for all generations. It should be put in writing. And of course, Hashem.
That's why they're in the camp.
And that's why it's part of the Sefer Nevi'im. The Ksuvim were never composed to be spoken. They were composed as a book, as a record. We're putting this in writing. So someone should one day take out this book and see what happens, see what it says, and maybe they'll learn from it. It was not composed, it was not formulated to be given over at a certain period of time. It was just a record. A person writes a book, I have chidushim, I'm putting it in writing. If someone would want to come along and look at it and study it, very good. It's not for the time, it's for all time. The difference between basically Amira and Kesiva. Now let's just give a few examples to illustrate this point. Every single one we don't do this today, but it used to be in ancient times, they used to lay in the Haftarah on Shabbos Mincha. On Shabbos Mincha, they would lay in from Kesuvim. What bracha would they make? We this manas that we lay in, we make a bracha on the Torah. And we make a bracha when we read the Haftarah. What's the bracha we make in the Haftarah? Asher bochar b'nevim tovim v'ratza b'divrehem ha-ne'emorim b'emes. Their words were said. Hashem chose the prophets and their words were said with emes. The whole function of a Navi was to say, was to speak. Navi lashon of niv sifosayim, his lips move. We have a special bracha. Now, we don't make this bracha anymore, but in ancient times, they used to lay in every Shabbos mincha, after you lay in from the Torah, they would read from Kisuvim.
So
it was a Haftarah by Shabbos mincha, stopped many years ago, I don't know exactly when, and they made a special bracha. I know what the bracha was. The bracha was let me find the bracha. Give me 1 second, please. Here it is. Akari b'ksuvim tzorach lema baruch atah Hashem lokinim el cholam asher kedushan b'mitzvosa v'tzivanu. This brought down a mesechta soifrim. It's a little mesechta. Asher kedushan b'mitzvosa v'tzivanu likro to read b'kisvei hakodesh. Kisovim. To read in kisvei kodesh. Kisuvim are documents. When we read from the prophets, we don't focus on the book. That's not the book. Hashabochar b'nevi'im toivim. You chose the people, the prophets. We don't care about the book. The book is secondary. V'ratza b'divrehem, their words. Hanemorim b'emes. That was said. Ksuvim, when you made a bracha on the Haftarah, on Shabbos Mincha, when you read from Ksuvim, what did you say? Asher k'deshon b'mitzvos v'svonu likro b'kisvei HaKodesh. Now the best example, which is gold, is look at the Nusach of Yomim Noroim on Rosh Hashanah. When we quote from the Ksuvim, how do we refer to the pasuk in the Ksuvim? We refer uvidivrei kodshecha kosuv leimar, in your holy words. When we refer, then we go on and we say all the psukim of the ksuvim. When we come to the neviim, the psukim, the three psukim from the neviim, the al yidei avodecha haneviim kosuv leimar. We focus on the neviim, the al yidei avodecha. We focus on the people. We don't focus on the words. Contrast the expression. We focus on the psukim of the ksuvim uvedivrei kodshecha kasuv leimar. It says this in Tehillim. Why don't we go say the al yidei David hamelech kasuv leimar? It says in Tehillim the following pasuk. How come we don't focus on David, the one who wrote, oh, by the way, all the Psukim of Ksuvim in Yom Naram was often Tehillim. That's why it's not, I forgot to mention, that's why it's not Sakasha. Even if you want to go say that Nevi'im have more Ksuvim, let's say you want to hold that Nevi'im have more Kedusha. So why in Yom Naram do we first have Torah and then Ksuvim and Nevi'im? Because all the Psukim from Ksuvim come from Tehillim. And David particularly lived earlier than the Nevi'im. So in the Yom Naram we're following chronology. We're not following sanctity. And that's why we first focus on David. David's ksuvim come before Nevi'im. But put that aside. But look at the difference of expression. Al yidei avadecha ha-Nevi'im kasuv leimar. We focus on the Nevi'im because this is the Amira. Uvidivri kachcha kasuv leimar. We focus on the ksuvim. I'll give you another example. Another example is we had Esther Hamalka. Esther Hamalka, she sent a message to the Chachamim that she wants kisvuni l'doiras. She wanted Megillah says to be written. So they told her, sorry Esther, there cannot be a safer Megillah because we have a limit. It says in the Pasuk, Halekosafti Lochem Shalishim. It says in one of the Nevi'im, where is this? Halekosafti Lochem Shalishim. And they make a drush that the Mechias HaMolek was already written only three times. They told the Shalishim V'loy Nevi'im. What are the three times? Parshas Beshalach. In Parshas Kiseitze and Agag in Sefer Shmuel. That's it. If you're going to make a book and talk about Mechias HaMolek of Haman, which comes from Molek, that's a violation of this other pasuk, Kosavti L'cha Shalishim. And then they found a Mukar. No, we change our minds because we can consider both Parshas Bishalach and Parshas Kiseitze as one. So now a slot has opened up. How do they know that? How did the Chazal learn that they're allowed to find a slot? So they found another pasuk. Kisoiv zos zikaron basefer. So what does it mean? Kisoiv zos. Zos, the Gemara Darshan, zos is in the zos ha-Torah. Asha som moishu lefnei b'nei Yisrael. What, both. What's written in Beshalach and in Kiseitze is included in zos. Zikaron is sefer Shmuel. Basefer is in Megillah. What is Megillah? It's part of the Ksuvim. And how does the Pasuk identify Ksuvim relative to Nevi'im? It's a Sefer. Whereas Ksuv Nevi'im is called a Zikaron. Zikaron is to remember. You remember, it's not in writing. Remembrance is either speech, it's either in the mind, it's not in writing. Kesuvim, in this pasuk, we have a clear definition that the essence of Nevi'im is Zikaron, the essence of Kesuvim is called a Sefer. So I have three examples. The Nusach of the Bracha, Asher Bochar B'Nevi'im Tovim, but also B'Nevi'im B'Emes, in contrast to the bracha that you make when you learn from ksuvim, which we don't do bizmanas anyway, but the bracha will be asherik the shonim b'mzasanu likra b'kisrei ksuvim. The second idea was the nusach of the yom norim rashana musaf al yidei avadecha nevim kasuv leimar, in contrast to the divrei kashchar kasuv leimar. And the third makar for this is ksuv zos zikaron basefer. Zikaron is nevim, sefer Shmuel, because zos already was the Torah, and basefer is Megillah says there is ksuvim. Now let's take this idea. Let's go back. Backwards. What was the steer in the Ran? It's a beautiful idea. What was steer in the Ran? The Ran says for himself. On the one hand, he says that Nevi'im have more Kedusha. On the other hand, he says that Kisuv have more Kedusha. So what's the answer? The answer is Rav Sender, he alludes to this. He, I don't know exactly what he says, but the answer is there are two dinim. There are two dinim. If you have an issue of which one you should say first, which one you should read first, if there's an issue of kedima in studying the words, then Nevi'im come first. But if the issue is the book, is the paper, the parchment, the paper, then which one has kedima? Ksuvim. Because Nevi'im were not even meant to be written. Nevi'im were not really meant to be written. This that we write down the words of the Nevi'im is just a technical mitzias. It's just something that we have to do to preserve it, but it's not part of the essence of its sanctity. Whereas kisuvim, it was lechatchila. The essence of kisuvim was that it should be a book. It should be a sefer. So if there's a fire and you only can save one of them, which one do you save? You save the kisuvim, because you're saving a book. You're not saving more, you're saving a book. If you're putting one on top of the other, which one do you put on top, according to the Ran? Well, you're putting books, so you put the book on top. If you're giving a shir, which is more chashuv a shir? To give a shir in Nevi'im, you have a teaching Torah, right? You're teaching, you're going to teach Torah and Nevi'im Suvim. You go to the order. I'm going to give you, you're going to have a Seder, even that's the Haftorah. You learn Shabbos. Shabbos, you first learn from the Torah. Then you learn the Shabbos morning, the Nevi'im. And Mincha, you learn from the Ksuvim. Why? You should be Shabbos morning, you learn from the Ksuvim. And then Shabbos Mincha, you learn from the Nevi'im. No, because that's a matter of teaching Torah to the Tzibur. When you're teaching Torah to the Tzibur, you're focusing on the words. We're not focusing on the book. So first you teach the Torah, then you teach the Nevi'im, and then you teach the Ksuv. That's Seidinim in Torah and Nevi'im. There's a din of the Amira, the content, and then there's the sanctity of the book. And you see that from this approach of what qualifies to be called anything that was meant to be preserved as a document. It was not meant to be said. Mishlei was never said. It was not part of a sermon, Mishlei and Eov. These were things that were written down. People should learn from. They should learn the lessons. It wasn't an episode in the history of Klal Yisrael where a prophet got up and was screaming and giving musar and telling people what to do. These books and ksuvim were all composed for learning purposes, to be studied for future generations. So it's a sefer. But the Nevi'im were events. These were events that happened. It also answers the whole sefer. It makes it very interesting that sefer Yoshua, the Nevi'im Rishonim, they're all stories. What's the prophecy? Exactly the point. These were events. Exactly. A narrative. A narrative is an event. It was never meant to be written. It's written to preserve what happened, but these were significant events. The events of the Baal Yeshayahu and Chaim Ezra are not that significant. They're a blueprint for us. They're not significant in what happened mamish. Their significance lies in there being a blueprint of how we should deal with later points in time. Yeah.
I was thinking of what we learned today about Shabbos. I mean, that was, you could straddle both cases. It was an event that didn't keep Shabbos, but it's also a blueprint. Which way do you go?
So what's the ikar? The fact that it's exactly the point, the fact that it's in Ksuvim and it's not in Nevi'im, the fact that this is recorded in Ksuvim, not Nevi'im, is teaching us that it's not so important what happened then. The event is not so important in and of itself. The important part of that event is what we can learn from for future generations. But in Nevi'im, events that are recorded, it's not so much to learn for future generations. Of course, there is what to learn, and we should learn. That's what we're supposed to learn. But the significance lies in the event itself. It's a little bit complicated to figure out the fine line between how you divide line. But there's Amira versus Sefer. Two dinim, and this ends. You see this difference in the three examples that were given, and it's a beautiful way to answer the stira in the Ran. Okay, so we'll leave it with that for today. Have a nice day.
Thank you.